Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming in from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, of course, this afternoon our guest is Dr. David Kennedy, who's a retired dentist, who is spending his twilight years trying to educate people about the danger of fluoride, water fluoridation, and the danger of mercury fillings. And, of course, what is so difficult for the average individual to understand is there really are people who want to destroy the minds of our children. And people say nobody could be that evil. Nobody would want to do that. And I say, what about Dr. Mengele? You remember Dr. Mengele over there in Germany? And he used to play with the children and then carry out the macabre experiments. And of course, there really are evil and wicked people. And some of them know exactly what they're doing. Now, the vast majority of the people who support water fluoridation, the vast majority of the people who believe that mercury is not harmful, either in fillings or certainly in our vaccines, I mean, they have just been misled. They have never heard the truth. I mean, there is no safe level of lead. And yet one of the things that Dr. Kennedy points out is that in areas where they fluoridate the water, and, of course, most places where they fluoridate the water, they use something called the hydrofluorosilicic acid. In those areas where they fluoridate the water, that's 91% of the areas where they fluoridate water, they use hydrofluorosilicic acid. In those areas, the level of blood lead. Now, remember, there's no safe level of lead because it's extremely toxic to the brain, as is mercury, as is fluoride. But the level of blood in the of lead in the blood dramatically increases, especially in blacks. And this has been confirmed with massive studies up to, what is it, 400, 450,000 children, David?
About 450,000 children, three different states, over a period of many years. All the data was collected by the United States government, so unless the government's cheating, it's regular out of what's called NHANES. It's their healthy children data. So, you know, it's no question it's happened. It's just a question of what you're going to do about it.
Now, well, why don't you tell us a little bit about these studies, and how could it be that the government knows this, and yet government officials are actively encouraging water fluoridation? Are they so afraid of their jobs, are they afraid to speak out for the children?
They certainly aren't protecting the children, I can tell you that. You know, their motivation is probably open to speculation, but I know what the results of their activities are. It's damaging or destroying our country. If you take 5 points of IQ away from a large segment of our society, you end up with people that are stupid, violent, homeless, can't graduate from high school, have no career opportunities other than janitor or robbing 7-Elevens. And looks like America today, doesn't it? When we compare what happened between 1940 and before, you know, and now that we have had a steady decline in the number of minorities that are able to achieve what they should be able to achieve. We have damaged not just the minorities, but the whole population of our country, because what you do to one part, you do to all of them. Doubled the amount of lead in the white children, fourfold increase in the number of Hispanic children with high blood levels of lead. This kind of injury, if I were doing it with a gun, you'd arrest me. If I were doing it with a spray gun or something like that, they'd accuse me of child endangerment, and it's a government program.
And, of course, we're going to talk more about this in just a moment when we get back here with Dr. David Kennedy. And the fact you haven't heard this simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. David Kennedy, who is certainly one of my favorite guests, and we were just talking about the study that was done by our government in a number of states and over a period of years, where they checked the blood level of lead, in other words, the level of lead in the blood. Now, you have to understand, there is no safe level of lead in the blood. And this has been correlated by Dr. Roger Masters of Dartmouth University. And what they found in 450,000 children, it's the government's Healthy Child Program, was that if you fluoridated the water with hydrofluorosilicic acid, which of course is what most water is fluoridated with, not sodium fluoride, why the level of the lead in the blood doubled in white children, went up four times in Hispanic children, and went up six times in blacks. Now today in America, of every one in every three young black men is either in prison, probation, or parole. Why? Because, of course, the lead poisons their minds. It poisons their brains. They go into raids. It encourages criminal activity. They know there's no safe level of lead, so why are they recommending a public health policy that increases the lead levels in the blood of our children, which, of course, seeds out in the brains? Could you go into the background of that? And don't be afraid to repeat yourself, because we have a new audience listening right this moment.
Well, you know, the government is basically using our water supply as a hazardous waste disposal program. Dr. Stan, you are absolutely correct. As the vast majority of water supplies use a product which is called hydrofluosilicic acid. This product comes directly from the pollution scrubbers of the phosphate fertilizer industry. And if you don't think there's a lot of money in that, you're very confused, because phosphate fertilizer is sold, but the hazardous waste from producing it, you know, would eat a hole in concrete. And so what they do is they promote it as a fluoridating chemical, but it's not fluoride. You have to put in 6.8 parts per million of this raw waste and stir the water around real carefully, and you come up with 1 part per million fluoride. Well, anybody who's good at math would say, let's see, we put 6.8 of something in there, and you're going to tell me what 1% is. Well, 1 part per million is. Well, how about this other 5.8? What's that? Well, what that is basically undissociated hydrofluosilicic acid and a potpourri of heavy metals, lead, cadmium.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back with Dr. Kennedy. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Kennedy is talking about the content of hydrofluosilicic acid, which is certainly part, one part of fluoride, but it contains all sorts of heavy metals, which, they've got polonium, 220, which is what they were poisoning this Russian spy with over in Great Britain. Why would they be putting that into our drinking water? But there's cadmium and lead and arsenic and all these things that they're adding to our drinking water. Why would they be doing that?
They have to get rid of it. You know, so that the theory among these fools is dilution's a solution. So what they're going to do is take a really noxious substance, claim that there's a health benefit, which there's not, and then spread it thin across the country. They did the same thing. Did the same thing with the solid waste, is that they were, selling farmers fertilizer with a shovel full of toxic waste in it. And they would say, well, there's no standard for fertilizer. And so what the farmers found out was that, when you're driving a tractor across a dusty field, you're inhaling this stuff. Farmers started getting sick, and some clever devil started analyzing the bag. And, of course, he got sick because he was spreading hazardous waste with his bare hands and his tractor on his own land. So his land ended up contaminated. And they didn't do this in one place. They did it all the way across the United States. And because they have tons of this stuff to get rid of. But people don't want hazardous waste in their neighborhood. So what they think is they're going to spread it real thin across the country. And that's 91% of the water supplies of this country that fluoridate use this product. And the other 9% are not using something that's real nice. No, they're using sodium silico fluoride or a dry feed system, and that's usually because they have a well head or something like that doesn't lend itself to use of the other stuff. So even those are contaminated. So it's a crime, and I would like to see it prosecuted. But at the present time that the public is just simply not aware. If you ask the average person on the street, is fluoride in the water good? The average person says yes. And if you ask them why, they say it's because they brush their teeth with it. Well, if you read on the tube, it says don't swallow. And if you do, call the Poison Control Center. But, you know, people don't read the labels.
Well, I think that they don't read the, even most of the dentists don't read the dental literature because, you know, the American Dental Society, I think it was about 2000 and 2001, came out and said, ingesting fluoridated water does not help the teeth. Fluoridation only acts locally on the teeth. Could you sort of explore that idea that, you know, that basic dental cavities is related to, you know, to a bacteria, and of course fluoride acts as a bacterial agent, and the only way that actually fluoride works at all is not by ingesting it, but it's local action on killing bacteria.
It's topical. It's like sunblock. You know, if I started saying, well, we should put sun, people might get sunburned because it's sunny here in California, we should put sunblock in the water, you'd think I was crazy. Well, that's exactly as crazy it is to put fluoride in the water. It's the only way they've ever shown that it has any benefit at all in reducing tooth decay is topically, like sunblock. It has to be on the surface of the tooth because it inhibits the bacteria. But you mentioned 2001. Let me talk about 2006, November 9th. The American Dental Association sent an interim warning to their members and said guidance on reconstituted infant formula. That means that if you're making up infant formula for the baby, and you're putting tap water in it, it said the baby can be overdosed.
With
fluoride. We've known that for more than 10 years, and now, because the National Academies of Sciences said the same thing, they decided to send this message out to their members. They didn't send it to the press. They didn't send it to the public. They sent it to their members. Now, how many dentists, and you, the people listening, and just raise your hands. I can see you from here. Raise your hands. How many people did your dentist tell you that if you have a baby in your family, for heaven's sakes, go buy bottled water for that baby, because the baby will be overdosed with fluoride if you're using tap water to make up the formula? I don't see any hands up there. So obviously the message didn't get to the public. Well, what that means is that the use of the water to deliver a medication at a level that is malpractice when the baby drinks the formula. Because if I prescribe that same level, we know what's going to happen. The baby is going to have funny-looking spotted teeth. Well, all the dentists in the United States have a big sign out and says cosmetic dentistry, you know, come in and get your teeth bleached and all this other stuff. Well, that's exactly what happens. It makes the tooth porous, so it picks up stain and makes them look funny and have funny little white spots on it, or brown, and the other children make fun of it. In California, they determined that that would be an adverse health effect. National Academy of Science also determined that was an adverse health effect. So we know now that the policy that we have adopted in this country in many places are causing adverse health effects in the citizens.
But
I don't think that's right.
But, David, the thing is that, of course, you as a dentist are concerned about the spotted teeth. I, as a physician, am concerned the fact that it's destroying the brains of our children and decreasing their IQ. It's having an impact upon their fertility. It's having an impact upon their thyroid. It's having an impact upon their bones. It's having an impact upon even the heart. In fact, in the original studies, we have a book called The Fluoride Deception. It showed that there was twice as much heart disease in Newburgh, New York, where they did the original trials, as they did in Kingsburg, New York, where they didn't put the fluoride in the water. They tell us it's safe and effective. It's not effective, and it certainly isn't safe. Do you know a better way to destroy a great nation and to destroy the minds of our children than to poison them with fluoride? And the scientific studies, the animal studies, the human studies have shown this is exactly what happens. And the fact that most Americans have not heard of that simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over the media, over the television, over radio, over newspapers, and ultimately over what the American people think and believe. And yet, the information is there. And any of our listeners who doubt what I'm saying should go to NTEU280.org, NTEU280.org. David, what would they find if they go to that website?
They'll find that all of the scientists represented by the union and at the EPA have taken a position that adding fluoride to the water supplies of this nation is a violation of their code of ethics, is that they were forced to lie in developing the supposed standard for fluoride, and that fact has now been supported by the National Academies of Science. The NAS, National Academy of Science, is the scientific arm of Congress, and they put together an expert committee on fluoride 3-4 years ago, and it came out this last spring. Now, I ordered a copy. I sent them the $70 for a hard copy, and so far I have not yet received a hard copy. I have an electronic copy, but the government says they don't have the money to print it. Well, have you ever heard of a scientific report by the National Academies of Science not being printed? Well, it's not out in print because they basically don't want you to know. What they showed was in a half a dozen different areas, including bones and thyroid and teeth, that the amount of fluoride that's currently being ingested by people in this country from the pesticide residue in our food and from the level of fluoride in the water is causing harm. It's suppressing thyroid, which leads to obesity and heart disease. It's damaging bones, which leads to hip fracture, the joint deterioration, knee replacements, hip fractures. It's damaging the teeth, which is a very minor thing. But in China, they showed that if you have damaged teeth, you also have damaged IQ. And so they're damaging the IQ, the intelligence, the wit of the brains of the people and children in this country. So I don't. It's unconscionable. You know, we should have a special prosecutor and prosecute these people.
And the people who are, of course, supporting this, some of them, most of them, really don't know. Now, what does this do? Because there's scientific studies that show what it does to the testosterone level. We have so many men today who have sexual dysfunction. And, of course, we see this in the ads all the time. Oh, my goodness, take this pill or that pill, you know, so that when the time is right. But why has the testosterone level in men dropped 50% over the last 50 years?
That's a very pleasant thing, but now they've got a crutch, you know, that they can give these men that are low in testosterone. Of course, that does cause effeminate men, so that we can have, you know, different partners. But it's hormones. There's a whole chapter in the National Academy of Science review on endocrine, which is your hormone level production, and that one of the glands that is affected as seriously is the pineal gland, and that controls the onset of puberty. And that, interestingly enough, while fluoride is dropping the testosterone, it's encouraging the early onset of menses in young women. And so you can't have a girl get pregnant at age 8 or 9 if they're before the age they start their period. And that's exactly what happens in both animals and humans. And they showed that in the very first study of fluoridation. Back in you mentioned the Kingston Newburg with the higher heart attack rate. They also showed that in the fluoridated Newburg that there was a 9-month drop in the onset of menses in the young girls, and that now has dropped back almost 6 years because people don't understand, but once you put the stuff in the water, it begins to accumulate in everything else. We've measured a whole bunch of breakfast cereals, and it's in everything from Wheaties to you know, cornflakes. If it's processed in a fluoridated community, in Battle Creek, Michigan, is fluoridated, then it ends up in the cereal. And so you got to understand this stuff doesn't leave whatever it gets in, so it does what's called bioaccumulate. And so you end up with high levels of fluoride in the foods we eat. We did an analysis of baby food, and Gerber's Tender Harvest had a baby food chicken. And that it was the highest we measured. It was 8 parts per million. 8 parts per million fluoride in the baby food chicken. And that was because the way the pureed chicken is made is that those automatic deboners nick the bone. And so the bone is like 150, 200 parts per million, and it gets in the baby food.
Well, now, how can people get a copy, even an electronic copy of this report from the National Academy of Sciences? I've never even heard of that. Is that available? Do you have that?
Certainly. You can get it off of the Fluoride Action Network, the FAN website, or I'll send one to you, Stan.
If you wouldn't mind, and then we can, of course, make it available to our listeners. Maybe we can even put it up on our own website. Do you have it on any of your websites?
I don't have it up, no, but I'll be glad to send it to you, and then we'll go through and highlight the important pages.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about, poisoning not only our children but our adults. The testosterone has been dropped, and they can show fluoridated, non-fluoridated communities 50% in the fluoridated communities. Well, David, you know, the thing is that the scientific studies are there. That is the incredible part of this whole story. The scientific studies are certainly there, published in the Journal of Fluoride, talking about how water fluoridation, you know, will actually lower the testosterone level. How could you conceal that from the men of America who are losing their manliness?
Well, you just deny it. It's just like you were talking about Mengele, that the information minister for Hitler developed the common tools of PR. You deny, deny, deny. Those are the three most important tools, and then you denigrate the source. Oh, it's just those anti-fluoridationists. Have we been called names or what? And then you cite authority. It's recommended by the United States Public Health Service. So this is PR. This isn't science, but this country has a bias against science. But I love it because, you know, it's really a system of numbers. And the numbers don't lie. You know, you've heard that?
Well, I think that they say that figures don't lie, but lies can sure figure.
Yes, true.
And a lot of them are working right there in Washington, D.C. today.
I call that place the vortex of evil. And that all of the crooks and thieves have migrated to Washington, D.C. I don't think there's very much that's good for us happening in that area of the world.
Well, this whole story is really so incredible. When you stop and realize what it's doing to the minds of our children, could you tell us a little bit about those Chinese studies of the impact of fluoride on the brains and the IQs of Chinese children? Because they've studied it extensively.
They have, and there are more coming out every year. They're going to host a conference this fall in Beijing. International Society for Fluoride Research is meeting in Beijing this fall, and many of the people who've published this research, what they found was in a number of different studies, and I'll talk about the first ones because they were the ones I actually met the people doing it. They looked at children in endemic fluorosis areas, and this isn't the kind of junk we got in our water supply. This is natural fluoride, the supposedly good kind, and that if the children had spots on their teeth, the dental fluorosis, they showed that. Then they went and got their scores on the school. This is blinded. They went to the school and did exams and figured out which kids had spots on their teeth, which ones didn't. Then they went to the administration office and they figured out what the scores were, and they plugged that in the computers, and the kids with the spots on the teeth scored worse on the exams. And well, the naysayer says, well, maybe the kids with spots on the teeth were depressed because the other children made fun of them. Well, that could be true. So they did the study another way. They looked at villages that had wells that were high in fluoride and compared theirs. This is a nationalized education system. They have Left No Child Behind. And then they looked at the schools that had low fluoride in the water supply, and they showed again that the high fluoride schools had lower results on the test. As a matter of fact, there were almost no genius in the high fluoride communities, and there were a normal number of genius and a normal number of low IQ in the low fluoride area. But there were a huge increase in low IQ children in the high fluoride areas. And now they've now repeated those studies several more times. So, you know, it's not that it's not happening. You know, they're basically people that want to continue this program are busy doing what they normally do, deny, deny, deny. Oh, that can't possibly so. Oh, that can't be possibly so. I don't believe that. Well, I don't care what you believe. Show me your numbers. You know, where is your study showing that children with dental fluorosis aren't impacted by this? They don't have them. They just deny that the studies that we show them.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is, of course, Dr. David Kennedy, and we're talking about the impact that water fluoridation has on the brain and brain development of children. And in China, where, of course, they have many areas where the fluoride is endemic in the water, they found that in those communities there are no geniuses and there are a very high number of people with severe mental impairment. In the areas without fluoride in the water, where they have their geniuses and they have a few children who are mentally defective. Whereas, of course, in the fluoridated areas, why, there are no geniuses at all and many, many defective children. So they've calculated, what is it, 5 to 10% IQ that they can lop off with their fluoride?
I think it's around 5 if it gets knocked off with the with a dental, what knocks it down. If you have funny-looking spots on your teeth, just little tiny spots that is probably too low to measure. But if they get to the point where the teeth are beginning to develop dental fluorosis, I think a recent study in Augusta, Georgia, which was in the 1993 National Academy Review, 17% of the children had severe dental fluorosis. That's off the top of my head. It's somewhere in that neighborhood.
But, of course, what's the relationship between water fluoridation and ADD? What about the animal studies? Dr. Phyllis Mullinex actually had done some studies on that. And as I remember in her animal studies, some of the animals who had, the mother had actually, a mother of a rat had, you know, had a water fluoridated water, weren't her children examples of ADD?
If they got exposed before, if they were exposed in the womb, then they developed what was called a hyperactivity in a rat. And then if they were exposed after birth, and then they became couch potatoes. And, how many kids today in our society are little couch potatoes? And, lots. And that, that's because the fluoride just, takes away their incentive to get up and go out and play, It's not a good thing.
And, of course, the thing is that in a country such as we have today, I mean, most of the doctors, the vast majority of the doctors, support water fluoridation. After all, it's safe and effective. And the majority of the dentists support water fluoridation. It's safe and effective. In fact, the doctors who speak out many times will be discriminated against and called quacks. And, they believe in black helicopters, and they believe in conspiracies, and they believe there's a communist under every bed. And this ad hominem attack. If you don't like the messenger, you want to discredit him. If you don't like the message, you attack the messenger.
That's exactly what you do. They don't have any way to deal with the message, because the message is, use science to make public health decisions. We had the head of the California Environmental Protection Agency, it's called the Cal EPA, and that he was the fellow in charge of doing the risk assessment to develop the public health goal for fluoride in the drinking water. And at a lecture, we were doing a risk assessment for fluoride for the Academy of Oral Medicine Toxicology. And he acknowledged 7 times, I have the videotape in that lecture, that he had not followed the law. He had actually applied a fudge factor, which is there's no provision for applying fudge factors to science, to bump the number up to the point where it agreed with what the dentist claimed is beneficial. Well, that's not what our Assembly and Senate passed the law for, was for you to start applying fudge factors. You're supposed to have water that's safe for all to drink for a lifetime of exposure. And what came out November 9th from the American Dental Association says that recent developments led the ADA to develop interim guidance. Last spring, the National Research Council released a report of naturally occurring fluoride in drinking water, and that essentially the ADA supports the pediatrician's recommendations on the benefits of breastfeeding and notes that ready-to-feed formula and bottled water will keep their fluoride intake under the limit, and that to do that with reconstituted water, which means if you have powder and add it, they recommend you buy bottled water or distilled water. Well, that's kind of like Marie Antoinette saying, let them eat cake. If we put the stuff in the water so that the parents can't use tap water for their children, what are they going to do? Well, the American Dental Association, who's been advocating fluoridation for the last 50 years, is apparently recommending that they should go buy bottled water.
Well, you have to be careful, because a lot of the bottled water has fluoride added as well.
That's true, and we have these idiot formulas. If you go to Mexico or Argentina, anywhere in the world, they tell you how much minerals are in the water. Here we tell you how much fat.
Well, it's so ridiculous. And now, this National Academy of Sciences report, did they get at all into the effect of fluoride on the brain and the mind of our children, or the animal studies that show the attention deficit disorders?
They certainly did, and that was written by Robert Isaacson. I was at a meeting this last summer where Dr. Isaacson, he's a professor emeritus, lectured in some detail on the testimony they heard. This is a unanimous finding, by the way. And he's the guy that did the studies on rats, showing that if you put one part per million sodium fluoride in the water.
Hold that, David. We'll be back in just a moment, David. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, this afternoon, Dr. David Kennedy, and we're talking about how they're poisoning our children. Now, they're poisoning with many things. They're poisoning with lead. They're poisoning with mercury. But this afternoon, on this specific time, we're going to be talking about the fluoride and, of course, what the water in the fluoride in the water does. Now, you say that this report, which came out of the National Academy of Sciences, certainly pointed out many of the true things about water fluoridation. How could it be that 9 months later they have not printed the report? You know, is you think that there's a conscious, organized effort? It doesn't take that much to print a report. You just put it in a copy machine and you turn it out at one penny a page.
Yeah, well, or less if you own the printing press like the government does. It's the U.S. government printing offices that print it. They said, oh no, we can't possibly afford to print it. It's basically their way of restricting the public from gathering this information. You know, it was only available in a draft form for the longest time. Whatever they do, they drag their feet, because basically what happens is when you read this, you look at Bob Isaacson showing that one part per million fluoride, and this is the same. Understand, you don't test animals at the same level of humans, because rats only live 2 years old. You know, the two-year-old rat's an old rat. So if you just gave them the same amount of fluoride as a human being, then, you know, you could never get up to, you know, 100 years old, could you? And that the other thing's wrong is that rats, it takes 120 milligrams per kilogram to kill half the rats, or at least 100. And that humans, you can kill them all with 5 milligrams per kilogram. So there's at least a 20-fold, well, that would be 100%, no, there's 20 or 50-fold difference in the lethal dose for the rat versus a human. So, you know, it's not a very good animal to look at how toxic fluoride is. But when he gave the rat exactly the same amount of fluoride that the baby or the adult drinking tap water was getting, gave him one part per million, instead of using the hazardous waste you and I were talking about, he used pure pharmaceutical-grade sodium fluoride. The rats had lesions in their brain, arteries, and kidneys, and the lesions in the kidneys were so severe, they weren't sure whether the lesions in the brains were because the kidneys were being damaged or because of the fluoride. Now, that's an incredible study. And that was published in one of the most prestigious scientific journals, Brain Research. Barner and Jensen and Isaacson are the names of the authors on that for people that like to go read these things themselves. But that wasn't their only study. They did a bunch of studies. They did a study with aluminum fluoride. They did a bunch of studies showing, and both the sodium and the aluminum fluoride studies doubled the amount of aluminum in the brain. Who thinks that's good? Hold your hands up.
Hold that thought. Hands up. I'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. David Kennedy, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, my guest this afternoon is Dr. David Kennedy, and certainly he's one of the most articulate spokesmen as far as trying to point out that they're poisoning our children, and they know what they're doing. Because there really are evil people. If you wanted to do evil things, where would you work? Would you be a dentist in some little community? Or would you try to get yourself into a key position in the American Dental Association or working in the public health service where you could influence the lives and the health of millions of people? And there, all you need to do is look at the health of our children. You have to realize, of course, when our children graduate from high school and they're tested competitively for children from other countries, you know, they cannot really hold up mentally. Their minds are not working effectively, and they score down with some of the poorest kids from the poorest countries and the poorest educational systems in the entire world. And this is not happening by accident. It is not by accident that one out of every three young black men is in prison, on probation, or parole. It's not simply by accident that we have almost 2/3 of 1% of our population, over 2 million people, in a country of 300 million, who are in prison today, and by the time you take the number on parole and probation, you're probably dealing with 3 or 4 million or 5 million people here, you know, who really have a criminal background, and of course a lot of this is because they're not thinking clearly, you give them an adequate diet, why they'll do quite well. You continue poisoning them, they, of course, go from crime to crime, and most of them end up going back to prison again. And so let's get a little bit, though, into the genetic changes. What about the relationship to Down's disease? You've told on other programs about this one time you were at a conference, and, and some dental hygienist got up and really was giving you what all, you know, about, you know, how safe fluoride was and how she'd given it to all of her children.
And then I came back with the response is, do any of them have any learning disorders? And I'm thinking, you know, like you were mentioning, the ADD, ADHD, you know, which is associated with the brain changes that occur when you give children or pregnant women. And she turned kind of white and sat down. And that after the meeting, I didn't know. I just listened to my inner voice, and I just asked the question that my inner voice said. And then her husband, who's a dentist, came over to me, and he said, what do you mean about neurological impairments? And I said, oh, you know, like learning disorders, that sort of stuff. And he said, how about Down's disease? I said, no, that's not a learning disorder. That's a chromosomal disorder. That occurs in young women exposed to fluoride. That was a study that was done by Rappaport in 1957. Because of abortions, we don't know. They don't analyze the fetuses for you know, the chromosome changes. So studies done later would miss this effect. But at that time, it was very clear that there was a dramatic increase in young women who delivered babies with Down syndrome, and that was repeated in a study in Chile.
And that was in women that were living in where the water is fluoridated.
It was one part per million, yeah.
Right.
And so it wasn't really high dose. The liars will say, oh, it was really high dose, or, you know, it wasn't a well-controlled study, yada, yada, yada. Well, where's your well-controlled study? They don't have it. You know, they just want to denigrate the studies that we point out. And so, you know, there's no way that any reasonable person would allow somebody to come into your community and put an untested product in the water that if you spilled it on the concrete near it, it eats a hole in the concrete. You would think, gee, why are they putting that in my water? You know, it'll eat through glass. They got to carry it to the water supplies in tankers that have a 1-inch thick rubber bladder. And I don't mean latex rubber. It's like tire rubber on the inside. And every year they have to pull that thing out. And I talked to the guy at the hazardous waste dump who was afraid I was going to bring him some. And I said, no, I don't have any. He said, that stuff is terrible. He said, you know, it's 1-inch thick rubber. And when it comes out, you can just put it in your fingers and snap it like a toothpick. It's just totally fried after, you know, hauling that stuff to your water supply for a year.
Now, my understanding is that in areas where they have a fluoridated water, why the male sperm count goes down, and certainly the sperm many times have deformed and certainly don't function, have changed in motility. Is that correct?
I know that the fertility goes down. The one I'm thinking now of, the Frenny study, where the FDA official did a nice study, and now his name is persona non grata, but he studied the fertility in the United States, and he showed that the fertility drops when the fluoride level goes up. So it's a new population control method. We'll just poison the mother. What do you think? But the trouble is you end up with poisoned children or violent children. We were talking earlier about the hydrofluorophosphic acid, and that the Dr. Masters' research has always been on the effect of metals on society. And that he showed that if the child is exposed to high blood levels of lead as an infant, they're much more likely to be incarcerated in prison for a violent crime. And we know why. Lead makes serotonin go down. Serotonin is your feel-good brain hormone. And that it's impulse control. So if somebody cuts you off in traffic, you know, a normal person wouldn't pull out a machine gun and start blowing away the other people. They would, you know, back off a little bit and let them in. You know, if you were trying to go through a doorway, you'd do the same thing, wouldn't you? You'd let somebody, you know, step in front of you. If they were, you know, a lady with a baby trying to carry your groceries, you'd hold the door for her. Well, what do we do on the freeways? We try to kill them. You know, this is insane behavior. And that what causes that is high blood levels of lead in infants. And then now when we get to be 17, 18, 20 years old, you get those kind of let's shoot them kind of behaviors. And that's what he showed, is that if you have high lead levels, you have no impulse control. Well, fluoride causes high lead levels. So we end up with a society of people that are behaving like lunatics.
And because really the frightening thing, the terrible thing is that it really is so much more prevalent in blacks, isn't it, that their blood level of lead goes up six times in contrast to just simply doubling in whites?
That's true. And the Hispanic was four times. North American Indian, there were not enough Asians or North American Indians in the study for them to know whether there was an effect. It was too small in numbers because this was done on three East Coast communities, because the East Coast is highly fluoridated. And so that's where the study was done. If they wanted to, the U.S. government has the funds to study every community in the United States. But no, these were studies done by Roger Masters at Dartmouth. The data was collected, but they never looked at it from the standpoint of were they causing harm in the community. It was a private individual, a professor emeritus from Dartmouth, and Myron Copeland, a chemical engineer that looked at these numbers. So, you know, it's the private community looking at the numbers that the government collected. So, yes, and we don't know why the minorities went up so high. There's speculation. There are other things that are different in the metabolism of different races on this planet. And that, they've hit upon, some people are saying we shouldn't tell this because, you know, we've hit upon a way to poison a segment of society. So we should do more of it. So those are the racist people in our society that are trying to kill off. But we're one people. We have to take care of everyone in this society and not just try to protect your own home. I've talked to so many people that when you tell them about how bad fluoride is and how it shouldn't be in the water supply, their solution is to go buy a distiller. Well, you know, I've got a distiller in my garage, and San Diego isn't even fluoridated. I like to take all the chlorine and the junk out of there, but that if you're an American and you see somebody attacking your country, you stand up, like Dr. Stan has, and tell your neighbors and start to work in your community to get this stuff out of our water. That's what you do. You don't go protect your own lips. First thing you do is go get a distiller to protect your own lips. Then you go out in your community and protect the rest of your community. That's what your obligation is, if you want to call yourself an American. That's what my theory is.
I agree with you totally. And, of course, we have far less to fear from Osama bin Laden than we do from the U.S. Public Health Service that for 50 years has perpetuated this charade, and they know exactly what they're doing. And, of course, I've been to the CDC. I've talked to some of these people there, and some of the wickedest people I ever met. And I will tell you that, you know, they could have stopped the AIDS epidemic. They refused to. Over 500,000 Americans have died unnecessarily, another 500,000 to 1 million infected. That is either a very, very failed public health policy, and if it's a failed public health policy, then somebody should be fired, or a very successful genocidal policy, and then, of course, it'd be promoted. Well, let's go to Eric, who's calling us from Compton. Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Doc. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Dr. Kennedy, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I've got a two-part question for you. I work for a major supermarket down here in L.A.
Yes.
And I've noticed the bottled water industry is a multi-million, probably billion-dollar industry. The prices run from anywhere very cheap to very expensive. How can you – is there a way to rate bottled water, and how can you tell if it's fluoridated? I've noticed that some of the tastes do vary quite substantially. I even believe some of that stuff gives me gas. People tell me it's my imagination, but how do you rate the stuff? Which one's better than the other one? How can you tell if it's fluoridated or not?
You know, I was joking earlier about how terrible our water labels are. You're absolutely correct. You look at the label and it tells you how much fat there is in it. You know, wouldn't that float on the top and make the bottle look funny? That's a food label we got on water. You know, you go to Mexico and they tell you how many minerals. What you have to do to rate these things, all those bottles will have a web page and an 800 number on it. You pick up the telephone, you call them up, and you get a pencil out and say, can you tell me the content of your water? They're required by law to measure everything in there. They're not required by law to tell you unless you call them. So I say call them. And that if you want to buy a water that is, and they also put them in the plastic bottles. I'm not crazy about the plastic bottles either. But if you want to know that the bottled water you're buying has no fluoride in it, you buy the bottled water that's for your iron. It's called distilled. So distilled water, by definition, has nothing in it. It's the same as rainwater. And so when I'm in a situation where I'm, you know, like in Compton, and I'm looking for some water that I can drink, and the city of Los Angeles is busy putting fluoride in all their water supplies, and I don't know what's good and what's not, I'll stop in a grocery store or a drugstore and go buy distilled water. Number two, I know the level of fluoride in a lot of waters because we've measured a lot of them, and there's some of them that are real terrible, and they don't say it. and that there's some that are pretty good, and they don't say it. They just don't tell you. So
you have that posted anywhere, Doc?
You know, you can find it on the internet. I don't have a web page that goes through that. You know, because you got the people working for you and that sort of to maintain it. But read on the bottle. If the bottle says it was made by reverse osmosis, that it's going to be lower in fluoride. It will not be free of fluoride. It will just be low in fluoride. But reverse osmosis lowers the water level of fluoride. If it says it's filtered, most of the time it means it's filtered through carbon, and that doesn't lower at all. It'll make it taste better. So you were talking about water taste. Is that fluoride is tasteless. So it's a perfect poison for mankind because you can't taste it. And so that means that we need to change our labels on our water, for one thing, so people like yourself and myself who are concerned about what we drink and put in our bodies can actually tell what they're selling us. And two, you know, it takes the food level off there. It just makes me laugh every time I look at that. And so what was the second part of your question?
How can I tell if my city water is fluoridated?
City water is on your water bill. Is it, you know, if you live in an apartment complex, you don't get a copy of it, just pick up the telephone, call the water company. But they're required by law every year to send out a consumer confidence report. What is wrong about the consumer confidence report, it makes a claim, a health claim for fluoride in there. It says, you know, your water has umpteenth amount of fluoride. Fluoride is a contaminant. And it doesn't list the things that fluoride causes, but then it goes on to say fluoride is sometimes added to the water supply for the purpose of reducing tooth decay. And that is marketing, not truth. Is it ingested fluoride? Fluoride with water in it basically gives you what's called a systemic or an internal dose of fluoride. And as we were talking earlier in the program, it's like sunblock. You know, you put it on the surface, you don't swallow it. That there's no reason to make a claim that swallowing the fluoride is going to be a benefit because it works topically. But you could perhaps take fluoridated water. The argument is, oh, the fluoridated water is so toxic that when it splashes on your teeth when you drink it, it'll kill off those germs. Well, you know, I don't want water that's so toxic when I drink it kills anything. Just, you know, I think.
If I may, just a real quick note, I tell you, when I've been listening to you for so long, I've been at this particular store I'm at now for like 7 years. I've come to know some of the customers kind of pretty well. When I see them buy that baby water that says fluoride added, I'm almost compelled, and I have done on many occasions, to tell them that, hey, this is really not good for your child. But it's a little scary because I know in their minds, hey, you're just a grocery store clerk. What do you know? My doctor recommended this. It gets a little scary, but I almost feel compelled to tell them, and I have done so, that this is not good for you.
And what do they say to you? Because I've done that, too, and then sometimes you get a rump.
Yeah. Well, sometimes what I try and do, I try and give them a web page to listen to. I try and tell them to listen to Dr. Stan, punch up the fluoride. I try and get them to listen, to hear somebody else say it, because they're going to look at me like, you know.
Well, if it's a school baby, you can give them the American Dental Association webpage, because in November 9th of 2006, the American Dental Association said that you know, making the baby formula up with fluoridated water, actually, if they read on that fluoridated water, it says not for infants. And so, you know, how could I sell a water called baby water and it's not for babies? Is this on Laugh-In? Where's Alan Hart with his camera?
Eric, thanks so much for calling,
okay,
Eric.
God
bless
Eric.
You for what
Bye-bye.
You do. You hang in there. But I just wanted to mention that Dr. Kennedy has a couple of great DVDs on fluoride, which we carry. And what are the titles of those? We carry, I think, 3 DVDs of yours.
Well, Let the Truth Be Told is all about fluoride, and it's made for people to use as the tool to work on preventing and stopping fluoride in their community, because you can not only watch it, it's a wonderful 2-hour video, but it's broken up into 4 different segments, and you can play them on public access TV.
Okay, so Let the Truth Be Told.
Let the Truth Be Told.
And then there's another one, of course. Is your drinking water safe?
And that's a shorter one. That's more for giving lectures, because, you know, if you wanted to talk to your church group or something like that, you can plug that in, and it's got a little short segments on various topics. You can go in and play that, and it's little snippets. You know, it's real quick, and you can open the discussion with that. The other one is smoking teeth. And that's about the amount of mercury coming off dental fillings. And it's, you can actually photograph mercury. Mercury's invisible to the naked eye, but under ultraviolet light, it's created with mercury vapor. You can photograph it, and that's what we did.
And, of course, there's another one there that's called Thimerosal, which we carry. And then there's one that actually you didn't put up, but we got it through you, and it is also about drinking water. It was really quite long. What was the title of that one?
I'm not sure which one you're thinking of, the one about drinking water. I sent you one on neurodegeneration the other day for you to review, which is about the nerves that get exposed to the same amount of mercury that people have in their brains if they get dental fillings in there.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of Dr. Kennedy's material. We even have a book he wrote, how to save your teeth. Isn't that the title?
How to save your teeth with toxic-free preventive dentistry.
All right, we have it at that, but we have these DVDs that he's put together on water fluoridation. You need to learn about this. Now, you can go to the website of the engineers and scientists at the EPA. www.nteu280.org. That's nteu280.org. You can go to the fluoridealert.org, Professor Paul Conant's website, and the ADA is surrounded with, fluoridealert.com, fluoridealert.net. Why? Because they don't want you to learn the truth at fluoridealert.org. Go there. Well, David, you go ahead and wrap up the program here. You got 3 minutes.
Well, Dr. Stan, I thank you again for sharing with your listeners the problems of water and water fluoridation, because of the problems that face this nation, one of the most important things we can do is to protect the next generation, because they're the ones that are going to have to lead this country into this next century. You and I are old and rickety, and we're not going to be here in another, 20, 50 years. But if we don't protect the kids, we get to lose our country. We not only lose our place in the world, we get to lose our democracy. It gets taken over by evil forces. And that I really want to thank you for sharing with your listeners what they can do to protect their family and what they can do to protect their nation, because we've got to do both. You can't just protect one without the other. Protect your family, protect your nation, and serve your country. And that's what I see you doing. My hat's off to you, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with your listeners what we see are our major problems. There's mercury in your teeth. That's crazy. There's fluoride in your water. That's also insane. That causes lead to build up in the brains of the children, the body and the blood of the children, and that causes them to behave abnormally. And that, I'm not saying the kids are bad. I'm saying if you poison their brain, they behave badly. And so if we take steps to clean up the water supply, we don't have to clean it up. We have to make them stop adding the stuff. They're intentionally trucking this stuff from Florida. So, it's only generated in one or two spots throughout the United States, and they truck it to your community. So we need to stop that. And the only way we can do that is that enough people stand up and tell the city council, the government of the state, which is Sacramento in our particular state. I know you're all over the United States, but we need to stand up and let those people know that we need to comply with the Safe Drinking Water Act. The water is supposed to be safe for us all to drink. Obviously, even the American Dental Association now acknowledges it's not safe for an infant. So that means fluoridation is a violation of the Safe Drinking Water Act. If there's an attorney listening, please get his pen out and write down the Safe Drinking Water Act and take action, because that's what it's going to take. You're going to have to sue them to make them behave.
And I hope that you will send me a copy of that National Academy of Science report.
It's in your email. I've already.
I really appreciate getting that. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to find out if what we're saying is true. It is true. I wouldn't be doing it. Dr. Kennedy wouldn't be spending his time trying to get the information out, trying to save the hearts and minds and the very minds of our children. Because America is under attack today. And it's under attack by the CDC and the U.S. Department of Public Health. God bless you, David. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I do hope that you'll want to go to that website, www.nteu280.org. You go to fluoridealert.org and then go to fluoridealert.com and to fluoridealert.net and find out that they surrounded fluoridealert.org with ADA websites. Why? Because they fear the American people are going to realize that they've been poisoning our children, and you've got to teach your dentist. Now, we have a lot of great material in addition, to what we've already talked about, although Actually, we do offer that that report that comes off the union website, the union of the scientists and the engineers and the lawyers that work for the EPA. And if you get any of the other items and you specifically request that, a complete web page will send it to you free of charge. We have My Talk, The Hidden Agenda, and you can get it on VHS. And, of course, there's a syllabus that goes with that because it has all the scientific studies that you need to understand what's going on. And they've been planned a long time to put something in the drinking water that would affect fertility. They also want to destroy the minds of our children because you don't want smart slaves. You want subservient slaves. And then, of course, you have to get certainly the DVDs we were talking about. Is your drinking water safe? And of course, the other DVDs, we actually carry three DVDs we got from Dr. Kennedy on water fluoridation, and we actually have two DVDs we got from Dr. Kennedy on mercury. We also carry an excellent VHS going into the immunization, into the influenza immunization that is given to pregnant women, specifically during the first trimester of pregnancy, so you get the maximum dose of mercury into the brain of that woman. And then if you've got fluoride in the environment as well, you give them a double whammy. And, of course, we know that fluoride in pregnant women produces, or at least in pregnant rats, produces offspring that are ADD, attention deficit disorder. And then, of course, you give them the mercury, and you lower their intelligence and create the behavioral abnormalities like autism. They know exactly what they're doing. Why are they recommending a vaccine loaded with thimerosal for pregnant women in the first trimester and giving it to children at 6 months of age? They told you they'd taken the mercury out of childhood vaccines, and they're lying. They've taken it out of, they have left it into in vaccines that are given to children. They've taken it out of the childhood vaccines, but left it in vaccines they give to children 6 months of age. Get our DVD, our VHS, on the influenza vaccine. You need influenza vaccination, I should say. You need to have this information. It's done by Dr. Ayoub, Ayoub. It's a talk that was given at our conference 2 years ago. A very important source of information. Now, we carry the book, The Fluoride Deception, and we recommend people get that. We recommend they get my syllabus and talk on the hidden agenda, and this will give you the documentation. You'll actually have the abstracts of the articles that tell you how fluoride lowers the testosterone level, lowers the motility and of the sperm, lowers the sperm count, alters the fertility, attacks the pineal gland of girls so that they begin their menarche much younger. And that's why girls 8 or 9 years old will be developing secondary sexual characteristics. They know what they're doing. They're poisoning the brains of our children. The information's there. The scientific studies are there. They come from the Journal of Fluoride. You try and get that up on the Internet. You can track it down if you know how, but it's awfully hard to do. So we are a source of information. Also, the website, fluoridealert.org, and www.ntu280.org. Understand what we're up against. Read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and you'll begin to get some semblance, some idea, some documentation of who these wicked people are and why these wicked people are doing wicked things. Our number 1-800-544-8927. Remember our number 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.